So, Father, I commit you this time. And I ask that you would give revelation to the hearts of the hearers, that they might hear your voice, and that you have already prepared the soil for your word to go forth and be planted, and that it would bring a harvest worthy of you, worthy of glory to you. Amen. If you want a title for this teaching, it's called Grace Through Faith. I'm going to start out here because I want to set you at ease. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There may be some who have not gotten to the point of being in him. Hopefully when this is all done, you'll be given an opportunity to have that happen. But you're in him, so there is no condemnation. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit has set you free from the law of sin and death. That does not change the fact that the Holy Spirit might bring conviction. So let the conviction have its way within you, that you would do what the Father would have you do, so that you might be transformed here on earth, what he's already accomplished in heaven concerning you. You are already complete in him. But there's this thing that we don't like to talk a whole lot about, and it's called the process of salvation. There are things concerning within my life, I'll just be honest with it, that God's still wanting to look like who he has seen me to be. But I need to cooperate. Ephesians 1:1-2, this is just kind of a little aside because I thought it was cool. If you look at all of Paul's epistles, one of John's epistles, I think it's John, 1 John 2, both of Peter's, now Paul's included Titus and Jude, you will find this salutation. And I'll read it to you in a bit. I got this revelation by, I don't know how long ago it was, that, you know how you go to work and people say, hi, bud, and you say, hi. They say, how you're doing, and you say, oh, good, and da, da, da. And this goes on. This is just the normal way you do what you do, what you do, what you do. And I was just going my merry way, and I didn't have a particularly good, you know, time the night before or the day before, but anyway, I went through the same thing. And then I says, oh, how are you doing? He says, oh, I'm doing good. And he said, you lied to them. And I did. And from that, I began to realize that sometimes when people are asking you how you're doing, you can say to them, yeah, you know, I've done better. And they may ask, oh, how come? Or, yeah, I know, or, well, I'm not doing very good either, which is a window to say, tell me about it, so that you might then pursue, as we've said, in Christ, to be about my Father's business. So, in all of the epistles, you will have whoever it is, and in this case, it's I'm reading from Ephesians 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Christ, Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and then to the believers, the faithful in Christ Jesus. The beauty about the Word of God is it's alive. That these words, which Paul spoke almost 2,000 years ago, have the same impact now as they did then when they first received the letter. So my question is, in your walk, how many of you have picked up one of the epistles that you've read and you've read from the beginning to the end at some point in your walk? Okay. So you have to read the first salutation. And again, kind of like a greeting, what do you do with the salutation? Is it just what you're saying, or is there some meaning behind it? Now, as you pick through all of the epistles, some of them, they're uncomfortable in spots. They're calling on stuff where, wow, whew. But he's already said up front, the apostle has said, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in some of them, it says grace, peace, and mercy. So before you've even read any of this, it is already bestowed upon you to come in and rest in the grace, the peace, and God's mercy. That comes from the Father. The Father has good works that he's wanting you to do in him. He's wanting to be able to speak to you to be about his business. And I'll read the scripture again. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more than a name. It's who he is. So this is being bestowed upon you each day, the fact that he's Lord. He's been interceding for you. He knows what's up for you for this day. So you can rest. You've orchestrated this. Jesus, God with you. The one who did what we were incapable of doing and without sin. The one that shows us, this is how you do this. So he knows what it's like to be confronted with whatever you're being confronted with. And say, I've been there. I know what it's like. Be like me. Allow me to live out through you. The Christ. And Steve's in the back. Last week, Steve mentioned about Christ means the anointed one. It also, he is the Savior, my deliverer, my kinsman redeemer. Everything about me and my stumblings and my failings that aren't yet quite right has already been covered. So then, faith and grace. But because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us, past tense, alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. In my walk, grace originally meant that his grace has covered all of my sins, and I don't have to worry about that. And that's true. But grace also enables me to do what I am incapable of doing on my own. I need God's grace to walk out this life so that he might glorify himself, so that the world might see his son in me. That's what this is all about. I love the word. I love studying the word, but I look at it a little bit different. In terms of a book of rules and regulations, it is a book of possibilities. Everything that I find is how God related to his, with his kids, with his children, with during these stories, is a potential of what he might choose to do today through me to whatever he orchestrates. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to go on back and read it one more time. And the Father raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. That's where I have my identity. Everything that Christ did, the way he walked, is here in me wanting to be released. But I cannot do it without him. I made the mistake once of mentioning to my wife's father that I could not love his daughter. That it was only God that could enable me to do so. At which point he was out of his chair and in the process of strangling me. No, literally. At which point my wife heads to the bathroom. She's weeping and crying and says, "We're leaving," because we had to travel a decent distance. And he's a large person And at that time, early marriage, I looked like, I don't even see Cody. I weighed about 130 or 40 pounds, which is not where I'm at now. And she's wanting to go. And I said to her, "No, we will not leave under these circumstances. We will stay." I'm sorry, I wanted to go. I didn't want to stay, but as a result of it, peace was at least made. It took the man, at least 30 years, if not more, to finally come to the realization that I really did love his daughter. Okay, I didn't think I was going to go there, but that's okay. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So, all of this, the Father is wanting to release upon us what we need for today to accomplish what he's wanting to do so that he can be glorified. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one could boast. There are things that we have needs about, there are things that the Father desires for us to do. Grace comes to us through faith. Now, we know from when Lisa taught about faith, we had all of the Greek word, and the main word was, in terms of word, it's rhema. The rhema word, one that is, I got it probably farther down in my notes, that's okay. It is an utterance individually or collectively or something specifically. But it's something that comes from him, that comes into your inmost being. It touches your heart. It's confirmed in my mind. I'm not, my mind needs to confirm this voice that I'm hearing, but it touches my heart. So we are in the Christmas time season, and probably a lot of people have needs, and some might have, you know, they could use a little bit of extra money. Is there anyone here that could use a little bit of extra money for Christmas? One, two. Keep your hands up just so that I'm, because this is not, okay, no. You waited too long. I'm going to pronounce your name wrong. Demarie? Damaris? Okay. What I would like you to do is I'm wanting you to get up and, I don't function from word of knowledge, just to let you know this has been set up, but that's okay. I would like you to get up, and I would like you to come on down here and go to the woman that's dressed in red, and I believe her name is Marcia, and ask her, do you have something for me? Okay. Now, as you are noticing in this scenario, she's heard what was said, she's now in the process of doing it, because James says, show me your works without faith and I'll show you mine with. Or, no, I'm sorry, I got it backwards, but that's okay. And she is now functioning on it. She asked for, and she now has what? A box. What does it say on the box? Okay. So she has a box of grace. Which is nice. Now you can do whatever you want with it. You can look in the box, you cannot look in the box. It's okay. You don't necessarily have to tell us what was in the box, but that's all right. So you can, you're not on the spot anymore. So she has the box, and right now she's gonna go sit down. I used to have this picture of grace, God's grace being poured out upon us, like the Sherwin-Williams picture of him pouring the paint over the globe. Okay, I thought, well, that makes sense. And he says, no, that's not how I do it at all. Now, if I would have been more diligent, I was going to wrap the little white box, but I didn't. So he gave me a picture of this. This is what he does for each one of you every day. He considers you. He looks at you. He sees what he has in store of what's going to happen with you for this day. And he gets a box and he says, okay, this is what you're going to go through today. You're going to need grace for that. I'm wanting you to do this. You're going to need grace for that. So as he does this individually for each of us, he's putting what we need for the day in this box. And then he thinks about you. Takes the box, closes it up, and begins to wrap it in the paper that he knows that you like. And he may ask you, what color bow do you want? And he wraps it all up. And each day he presents to us, according to what the apostle said, grace. I have it every day. Now, it's my choice. Do I go to him and say, what do you have for me today? We make our own choices. God does not force us to do anything. I have argued with him. He still wins this argument. Why can't you just take control? And he says, because then there would be no relationship. So I've seen in my past, I like blanket prayers. God, I just ask that you come into my life and take over. And he says, can't do that. What specifically do you want me to change in your life? Then you have the relationship. And I guarantee you, He's creative. So you're presented with the box. Have you looked in the box yet? No. So she was given a choice of to have the box. Do you open the box for what you need for today? Or you just say, nice box. It's something for you to take, and it will empower you to do the things that you need to do for the day. Okay. I can actually turn a page. Romans 10, 8 through 12. Oh, we just did that. Actually, can get rid of a page. No, we'll hit it anyhow. Romans 8, 10, 8 through 12. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and heart. This is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We've gone to a lot of different churches over the years. I've met a lot of believers in the job that I've had. Believers are saved. It's what it says. You believe in your heart that God is who he is, that he died on the cross for you. But if you come to the place that you've asked him to be Lord, where your life is no longer your own, the good news is at some point you ask him to be Lord over your whole life and you now begin the journey so that all of the rest of this can happen. And you can go, wow, look what God did. Look what he did here. And wow, I wanted to strangle them, but I did that. So all of this comes out of that relationship. No, I want to do what you would have me do. That's a choice that we make every day, every moment, as things unfold. And there are times when you don't get it right. That's why I started with Romans 8, 1. That scripture has set me at peace when I didn't get it right. When I didn't listen, or I'm sorry, I always listened, I just didn't go where he wanted me to do and do what we wanted to do. Going back to getting the box, I could have picked someone else and they may have stayed in the seat and not gotten out. Fear is a powerful force that will keep you from doing what God would have you do. God's love cast out all fear, has no power in your life. Know that that which he has done in your life, he's done. So when you didn't get it right, he doesn't go, oh, gee, Dad, I don't know what we're going to do now. He says, I'm here. Let's keep walking. Let's keep going. This good work that I've begun in you, I'm going to finish. Thessalonians, last chapter. That's what he's wanting to do as this day unfolds. As I finished this scripture, I was a little concerned because when I prepared for this teaching, I had all of this scriptures. I actually had, I think this is 12 pages, but big font for old people. I had twice as much. And I got, I don't know what to do with that. I don't even know how I'm going to do this. I was all like, yeah, I have all these neat scriptures, and what do you want me to do with it? And then I came across this scripture, and it applies to your walk also. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Done deal. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So in this walk, when I first believed, I needed to make a confession. As my walk begins to go on and I am being saved, there needs to be a confession over that which God is pointing his finger and says, you said you would take care of this, you need to change me. The relationship. And as the scriptures say, verse 11, anyone who trusts in me will never be put to shame. So I came to the point in terms of this teaching where you're going to have to do this thing, and I don't have to worry. I will not be put to shame. So that's where I found myself as I'm beginning to bring this about. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have gained access by faith. I can't read it. No, I can't. Yes, I can. No, I can't. Okay, can't. So I have to look down here to read it. Sorry. Nice top of my head. With God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The hope of the glory of God. Every time I find myself doing what the Father would have me do, I'm going to try and get away from the podium so I can move for change. And I find myself doing what he would have me do, however small or great it may be, I bring glory to him. How many of you love to worship the Lord? I got more hands for that than I did. Okay, all right, that's good. The highest form of worship is obedience. It's obedience. From the smallest task to the biggest. And I'll give you a quick little story in terms of that. Worked at a company that had thousands of employees worldwide. I was working in the home office. Long hallway, so easily as long from here, probably a little longer than from wall to wall, probably back there. And I'm just walking down the hallway, not recognizing who's gotten come out after me, and I'm just about to the end to get to the where I'm going to go out a door into where I worked, and I saw a piece of paper on the floor. Okay. I don't normally pick up pieces of paper off the floor because we have a housekeeping crew and da-da-da-da-da-da, but I saw it, I bent over, I picked it up, I put it in the garbage, and I kept on walking. Because he told me to, because I wouldn't normally do it. The CEO of the company was at the other end, and he saw me, and he confronted me about it, and how impressed he was that I managed to bend over and pick up a piece of paper. And as a result of that simple act, God glorified himself that I would develop a relationship with the CEO of this company. Over 16 plants all worldwide, at that time was probably 6,000 or 7,000 employees, maybe more, I don't know. Simple thing that God would have you do, do that. It's not complicated. So we have pick up a piece of paper on this spectrum, and then here over on the other one, we had a healing kind of service, and I already know I can't do this. They brought an elderly man He was sitting in a chair, and we had chairs here, and was sitting here. I think he was sitting with a pastor. And he's looking at his feet, old guy. And as I looked at him, and I don't remember if it was 4 or 6 teardrops he had tattooed on his face. So for those who don't know what that means, that's the number of people that he has killed. Okay. He had just been let out of prison within the last 2 or 3 years. I think he was late 70s or early 80s, so he'd been in there a long time. And I'm looking at him, and this is what I'm hoping you'll get excited about. I don't know this guy. He's a murderer. And the Father poured out his love to me for him, and I began to share the love of God with this man. And the more I shared, the more he wept. He got saved. He got forgiven for everything in his life. Wow. So I thought I was done. Okay. I'm wanting you to, and I hear this in my inmost being. If you look at scriptures, heart, inmost being are the same, and I forgot where it is. It's, I don't know. God was grieved in his heart about some ite. He was troubled in his inmost being. Oh, okay, they're synonymous. Well, that's cool. Okay. So it's here. It was out of the belly of Christ that everything was released. I love the intellect. I use my mind. But I need to be doing what he'd have me do and not what I think I should do. So be set free from the shoulds of what you should do, because I have other stories in terms of why you don't want to do that. But we'll see if we have time for that. So anyway, I'm looking at the man and he says, pray for him. He's blind. There's nobody behind me. So I began to pray for this man so we get his sight back. And he's sitting there, and all of a sudden he goes, he got his sight back in one eye. He was thrilled. Okay? I don't know why. I mean, maybe I missed it. All they were there for is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. You know, maybe I was supposed to pray for the other. I didn't. Okay? I figured one was better than none. So it's like, and I wasn't doing it anyhow. He could have done, you know. So all this stuff's running through my head because I'm just Bud doing the best I can to be obedient to my Father so that he might be glorified, and I'm not always going to have it together or do it perfectly. I love Romans 8:1. So anyway, I end up seeing this pastor sometime later, and like he was in, I don't know, his assisted living or a nursing home or something, and he says, the transformation of this guy was incredible. He was an introvert. Now he's telling everybody about Jesus. And he can see out of one eye. Now, whether it's the piece of paper or the man getting his sight back, I had very little to do with it. That's how it's going to be with your walk. They're doing the art thing, the women's, next Saturday. Mackenzie is going, and it'll probably be like art. That's no big deal to her. That's her comfort zone. So for me to ask her to draw whatever, if she's willing to do it, it's like, yeah, okay, then she'll do it, and she'll be done in a short amount of time, and then I go, wow, and okay. She was asked to teach. Was out of her comfort zone. And she did. And God met her in it. It was incredible. It touched heart. That's what this is all about. It's nice that I can touch your hearts. Well, God, through me, touch your hearts. But we have a dying world out there that needs to see the reality of Christ in you. Okay. He says, do another scripture. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Up until this teaching, I thought of blessings are, I have what I need to pay my bills. I have a great son, a wonderful wife, a great group of believers. Every time I get to stand the gap between heaven and earth, because God is wanting to have take place what he's already accomplished in heaven to be manifested here upon the earth. Okay, well, that applies to me. There are still areas that he's, boy, it's, you know, and we've walked through and I'm no longer where I was, and then he's made changes, and you look at me and you go, wow, there's a man of God, and I go, because of him. But he has given you spiritual blessings of representing him to a dying world. And there are people that he's wanting you to share him with. The early church grew because they got saved, they were excited, and they went out and they preached a whole bunch, and in a short amount of time, 5,000, then another 6,000, and da-da-da-da-da. But they were going out, and they were sharing what God had done in their lives. Has God done anything in your life? Then share it. I didn't enjoy going through this teaching because I too got convicted. We'll wait for that. For he chose us in him before the creations of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will to the praise of his glorious grace. This is the Father's proclamation concerning your life. Every day, there is some way he's wanting to manifest you, whether it be to your kids, to your wife, which is, you still need to do that, or your spouse, or friends. But the fruit of the Spirit needs to be manifested in our lives all the time. I fall short sometimes with that, but are you always kind? Are your words always gentle? Are you always faithful? Can you love the unlovely? Can you love the guy who hates you? Can you persevere through this test and trial without grumbling? Sometimes. The only way this can be manifested in your life is that you allow Christ who lives within you to be released by the Holy Spirit. That's a choice you make. Yeah. Yes, great worker at the company that I worked for, and we had interesting people. I worked on the floor until I got a better job, and it was really cool, and that's another story. But there was one individual who the rest of the guys called the son of Satan, because you never knew where this guy was going to come from. And I would come on in to work, and I said, say, good morning to you. I think his name was Bill. It's been a long time. And he would rail on me. And just another way of saying, cussing me out. What's so great about it? It's like, wow. So the next morning, I came on in and I didn't say anything to him. I walked right on by. And he went, hey, and cussed me all out. What's the matter? You're not even going to say anything to me? And he was on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Now, I could be very argumentative at that time of my walk, and put it nicely. God's done a work. I try not to argue with people too much anymore. Almost there, maybe. And all of this stuff is rising up within me. And he was sitting at a bandsaw, and I took a step forward to him, and I looked at him, and I said to him, you have no idea how much God loves you. He knows your pain, your hurts, your wounds. He knows everything that you've been through, and he loves you. He begins to weep. Now, did I lead him to the Lord? No. Did I ever lead him to the Lord? No. But the word of God went forth into that man's heart, and he was touched by a living God. Blessing that God had for me. What was the point of it for me? That I might see the love of God for somebody called, who they called the son of Satan. Wow. Okay. I think I can change pages. Ah, yes, Bruce's scripture, my favorite. This is my all-time favorite scripture. Backstory to this scripture. Jesus knows full well what's ahead of him. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's praying, for us to the Father. And it's John 17. I'm just going to do 3 and 4. Now, this is eternal life. Now, this is Jesus speaking for probably John so that he could hear this, so he'd have a definition of what eternal life is. Now, it is true. It's to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Now, this is eternal life, that they might know you. The only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In that conversation with this man, I got to experience for one of the first times in my life the love of God giving out to someone who didn't deserve it. Now, you back a little bit and look at your own life, you realize, I didn't deserve it either. I remember from where I came from, I wasn't a whole lot different than him. So God is wanting to give blessings to you so that you might have eternal life, that through what he's enabling you to do that you couldn't do on your own, he's going to demonstrate his love for you so that you can go, wow, and be changed yourself. I don't know how many of you know John Bevere or have heard of him. Okay. I don't remember how long this teaching came out, but it was at least 15 years ago. Driven by eternity. And you can get through a whole 16-week or more thing in coming up to this conclusion. Every choice you make will have an effect on how you live for the rest of eternity. So, if I release the blessings that God has given to me upon them so that I might understand who he is, it changes me, and that change becomes manifest that it changes my habitat in heaven. Now, do I know what that means? No. Do I know that it has an effect? Yes. I mean, you could think of bigger mansion, bigger whatever, better location. I don't know. What I do know is the choices I make in this life will affect how I live the rest of eternity. My encouragement is, be about your Father's business. Now, you saw in the demonstration of faith, you have to step across the line and exercise that faith so that you can be given the grace to bestow upon whoever. That never changes. If you're comfortable with what you're doing, as Mackenzie being able to paint, oh, wow, look, she painted, look at all of the grace. No, that's part of the gifting that she's been given. She wasn't out of her comfort zone. You're going to have to step out of your comfort zone. Okay. Turn the page. So, Christ lives in me. I am to live my life out through him. Doesn't sound complicated. Why do we make it so complicated? So, what did Jesus' walk look like? John 5, 19 through 20. Jesus gave him this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he has done. In one of the scriptures I read before, we have become sons and daughters. So you are a son or daughter of the King and of the Father. Now, they're both the same, but in a minute, I'm wanting to demonstrate my walk is to look like Jesus's. He depended upon hearing from the Father. The Father has stuff that he's wanting you to do, to bless you, to train you, to change you, and to change the world, and to bring his kingdom here down on earth, both in you and in your environment. Because of who he is, and this is Johnson. I keep forgetting his name. Where your school comes from, Bethel. Sorry? Bill Johnson, okay? Lost my train. Won't go there. John 12, 49 through 50. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know that his commands lead to eternal life, so that whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Because I am living out through him, as my ears are attentive to the voice of the Father, those things then which I speak will be his words, and the word of the Lord never, ever, ever, ever returns to him void. We have the privilege to be able to stand the gap between heaven and earth and release the love of God, his purposes upon this earth. Sometimes in something as simple to pick up a piece of paper. I'm not trying to make this complicated. Now, as I'm listening to him, I have received promises from him at some point, there'll be something else, but I have to stop doing what I think he's wanting to do. So in the past number of years, because, well, Bruce knows the stories, I don't want to find myself in the place of doing what I think is a good thing to do. Adam and Eve ate from the tree of good and evil, both brought death. What? Yeah. What brings life? The will of the Father. Being in tune with Him, connected with Him, having Him do what He's laid upon your heart to do. And I couldn't heal the blind guy. But what happened? I was filled with the love of God for a man that I didn't know, and his whole life was changed. And it was all said and done. All I could go was, wow, look what you've done. In this relationship with God, all of who they are, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I need to ask. Now, this is my big argument with God. He doesn't like the blanket prayers. He's wanting you to have this relationship. So you're confronted with a situation. You're wanting to strangle somebody, or you're wanting whatever. Maybe that's just me and nobody else ever hasn't comes to that spot. And you stop in that moment and say, how would you have me respond? Now, I can still be talking to you and still talk to Him at the same time. So I'm wanting to, and I'm going, I need you to rise up to this point. At which point He does, and I see what He's done. Okay. James 1:16-18, I have, it says, warning. Don't be deceived, my brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. We have good gifts to give the people who are in the world. Now, I'm going to pronounce her name wrong again. Damarie. Closer? Okay. It was something to be able to buy something. Okay, we can do that. That's okay. But what about changing somebody's life? What about not even necessarily changing their life, just giving them a moment of peace in the midst of the turmoil they're going through by demonstrating the love of God to them so that they can get through to the next day? We don't know. It's not my job to figure out how He's going to do what He's going to do what He's going to do. It's my job to say, okay. And be about my Father's business. He'll give me what I need as I step out, and as I step out, and as I step out. There's something more as you say yes to God, that maybe it may come to a point where, really? Rise up and walk. That's what He has for us. But it begins by being in the relationship. I've been at this over 40 years, now some much longer than that, and such even longer and longer than that. And I'm ashamed to admit that I think it's probably within the last 5 years, maybe a little more if I want to stretch it, that I realized I've been doing it wrong. I've been doing it wrong. Jesus' walk was, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only speak what He would have me speak. Have I been asking the Father in every situation that's coming? Now, granted, I'm not talking every step, but I'm going to a meeting that's important. Do you ask? Father, I'm going to this meeting that's important. I need You to be there. Keep me from speaking stupid stuff that I would normally speak, and give me words of wisdom that it might come forth as You see fit. That's the relationship. I was not committing the important parts of my day as a king. I'm going to Menards. Often. But do you commit the time to him? I did once and got into a discussion with a guy about which garbage bags were the best to buy, and then God shifted it. But I gave it to him, and he will only do what I allow him to do in my life. I have to ask him. I have to ask him. God, in all of who they are, they're gentlemen. They will not force me to do anything. They're wanting the relationship and says, I don't know what to do here, God. What do you want me to do? And then, and you'll see Christ flow out through you and you go, this is fun. This is exciting. This is the abundant life that he promised. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Jesus did what we could not accomplish to doing. He became the re-redemption of the new Adam, and all of the offspring there after that, that's where we fall. We are the beginning of the first fruits for the next first fruits that he's wanting to use us for. Does that make sense? Okay. How should it look for us? John 3, 1 through 2. I need to get close to being wrapping up. Oh, well. Yeah. That's okay. How great is the love of the Father that has been lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. That's what we are. But we know that when he appears, or when it is made known, there's a footnote, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We can look at that from time coming. Yes, that's true. But also today, as the day unfolds, God is wanting He's wanting us to recognize him in our moment so that when he appears, we recognize what it is he's wanting us to do and make it known to us so that we could step out in it and see what it is that he's wanting to do. Okay. I will finish up with this so that you don't get put into a box. I don't want you putting God into a box. I'm only going to give three examples in terms of how Jesus received faith. The first one is Cana. This fascinates me. He's at a wedding. He's done no miracles at this point in time. His mother comes up to him and says, this is after 3 days, they're running out of wine. And he looks at her and he says, woman, what does that have to do with me? He's not going to do anything. He's not heard from the Father about doing anything. He didn't get that morning, today we're going to start your ministry and this is the first thing that you're going to do. Because now what does that have to do with me? Mother ignores him, turns to the servants and says, whatever he tells you to do, do that. At that moment, he saw the faith that the Father had given to his mother to release him to do what it is that the Father wanted him to do. Now, it's impossible for God to lie. So when he said, what does that have to do with him at that point in time? Nothing. 15 seconds later, everything. You can't put God in a box on how he's going to speak to you. It may come from a co-worker who doesn't know the Lord, and you hear them say da-da-da-da-da-da, and the Father says, do then do this. Well, it came from them. Sometimes I'm going to read a scripture, and it's alive, and I go, wow. Or a scripture is brought back by Holy Spirit for me to share with someone. Wow. So that's Cana. My pages are sticking together. The next one is The woman with the issue of blood. Okay, I love this story, because this story blows me away. Jesus is traveling, I believe, from Capernaum to Jerusalem, but anyway, from point A to point B. Coming through some town, everybody's crowding around him, they're touching him, and on and on and on and on and on and on. And this woman, knowing full well if she's caught, she will either be stoned or thrown out of the city because she has an issue of blood. And she manages to touch the hem of his garment. And Jesus goes, "Who touched me?" Nobody's fessing up to him. "Who touched me?" Now, probably wasn't in a negative tone like I'm giving, so put love behind it, not my tone, okay? "Who touched me?" Okay, that's better. Thank you. Thanks for the conviction. And the disciples said, "Everybody?" And then this woman fesses up. "Who touched me? Because I felt power leave me." He didn't know that was going to happen. He didn't know the power was going to leave him. Somebody touched him and he felt, it's like, "Who touched me?" You can't put him in a box. How he's going to use you, you need to be in relationship where you go, "Oh, okay, I didn't need to know this one." And you hear the whole story. Now, the last one I just threw in just so that you do know, yes, I do believe that God when evening came, this is Matthew 8, 16, 17, it's not in there. "When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick." Yes! That's what I believe we're being prepared for. That we could be listening in the little so that when the big time comes, we're not afraid. "Oh, I've been waiting for this for X number of years." "All of them? Really? All right, let's go do it." And there's not going to be any hesitation. I'm going to know my Father's voice so well that I know it's not going to be anything about me, and this is going to be fun. It's the abundance. Let's go do this. Yes! So, Father, I thank you for being able to share. And as usual, I have more scriptures than I needed. If conviction has come, then may they take it before you, because you're the only one that can change their lives and cause them to be transformed, be different later on today or tomorrow and each day after that because of their encounter with you, that you touched their heart and they saw the promise that you have.